Hey, good morning, everyone, and you're all very welcome again to Westside on this Sunday morning. And you must be saying at this stage, are there more essentials? So surely not any more essentials. And we had enough essentials now at this stage. No? Well, we have another essential this morning. I was wondering, Annabelle didn't tell us how to get the figs into the fig roll. But that's for another time. Thank you very much for that talk. So, having looked at the essentials for the follower of Jesus, including God's saving grace, God's word, the Bible, prayer, witnessing, suffering, membership, and relationships, we come now this Sunday to the essential of giving. And we're going to read from Acts chapter 4. As we've taken all these from Acts and we've been following along the headings in this book, Christian Essentials by Ken Noakes, and we've taken an essential each Sunday through the summer. And this is maybe one essential that I might have liked to skip on and go to the next essential, not do this essential, but we are going to cover it this morning. So Acts chapter 4 and verse 32. Acts 4, 32. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to everyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostle named Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he had owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money received from the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what happened. Then some young men came forward and wrapped up his body and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, tell me if this is the price you and Ananias got for the land. Yes, she said, that is the price. Peter said to her, how could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in, and finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. Yeah, so Barnabas had just given the proceeds of the sale of some property he had sold to the apostles. But along came husband and wife, Ananias and Sapphira, with a generous sum of money that they also put at the apostles' feet. When people give, it's up to them how much they offer to give. But Ananias and Sapphira tried to deceive the apostles, the church, and the Lord in saying this was the full sum of money they'd received for the sale, when in fact it wasn't. It was not so much the sum of money as the attitude of their hearts. They were trying to make themselves look good in front of others. And you know, God sees our motives in our giving and in our not giving. He wants us to be sincere and to put others' needs before our own, just like the Lord Jesus did. There is no place for pride or deceit or betrayal in our giving. Okay, the world says, the more you get, the happier you will be. That's the world's opinion on it. But God says, give generously, freely give, for you've been given much. The world says, and this might sound a bit American, can all you get, and get all you can, and burn the rest so no one else can get it. That's not an original quote. That's from Ernie Tromsnes. What does it say again? Can all you get all you can, and burn the rest so no one else can have it. Such a selfish attitude, isn't it? The world promises that money can buy satisfaction and happiness, whereas God calls on the followers of the Lord Jesus to give generously. So another essential for the follower of Jesus this morning is giving. Christians are givers. God's word, the Bible, has so much to say about giving. And of course, we can think about giving in so many ways, can't we? We can think of our time. We can think of our gifts, our talents, but then our money. We as followers of Jesus are stewards. James 1:17 says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." God owns everything because he is the creator and the maker and the giver of all things. So when we give, we are merely giving back a portion of what belongs to the Lord anyway. We are stewards of the abilities, spiritual gifts, knowledge, money, in fact, of everything we've been given. As followers of Jesus, we are called to be godly in our giving. And this Sunday, we're going to focus on that financial giving. Yes, that word, money. Hard thing to talk about. I wouldn't mind skipping on to the next one and not doing this one. And I know it must be hard for a pastor who's being paid by the church to talk about this sort of thing, but I can talk about it because I'm not being paid, which is good. So I don't have anything on here. I guess the first question to ask is, why should we give? Why should we have an offering each Sunday? Why does the bag go around? Or why do people give electronically through their banks, through the bank? Why should we give to the church? Why should we give to the Lord? Why should we give to God's work and give to those in need? Well, firstly, as a believer, a follower of Jesus, it should be part of our new character in the Lord. Luke quotes the words of Jesus in Acts 20:35. While Paul was addressing the Ephesian elders, he writes, "Remember the words the Lord Jesus himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" That's not the way the world thinks, is it? But that's the way the believer should think. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And the way we are stewards of what God has given us, and the way we are generous and responsible in the way we use the resources that God has entrusted to us, should be evident as followers of Jesus, as part of our new life as believers. It should be our new nature. The old is gone, the new has come. The old says, "Grab it all for myself." The new has come. Generosity with what God has given to me and to you. Even before the New Testament was written, we see the giving of the followers of Jesus. It was part of their makeup, part of their nature, right from the very word go, as we read of it like Barnabas here in the first century church. But as with Ananias and Sapphira, we can see that our attitudes to giving must be right and must be true. That's the first thing. It should be in our conscience as believers and followers of Jesus. And secondly, of course, because the Bible commands us to. In case you had any doubts about the need to be generous and giving as a follower of Jesus, is it an essential? Well, yes, it is. The Bible has much to say. Let's have a look at a few verses in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "Remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth." Proverbs 3:9 tells us, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your produce." Deuteronomy 16:16-17 says, "No one should appear before the Lord empty-handed. Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord has blessed you." That's just a few of the many Old Testament scriptures about giving, and there are loads of them. And over in the New Testament, there are many references to giving. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the Lord makes several references to giving. He talks about not laying up for yourselves treasure on earth, and that where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. He talks about giving secretly or anonymously. When you give to the needy, give in secret, not sounding a trumpet, he says. Jesus talks about sacrificial giving. And then Paul talks about not giving reluctantly or under compulsion. He says that God loves a cheerful giver. Give with the right attitude. Give in love. Excel in the grace of giving. In Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, of that whole book of the 2 Corinthians, 13% of that letter. A whole two chapters is about generosity and giving to the Lord by the Lord's people. He talks in chapters 8 and 9 about the collection for the Lord's people and how Titus was sent to receive the collection. No banking or electronic fund transfers or Revolut back then. Someone had to go and collect it. And to bring this liberal gift back to be administered in chapter 8, verse 20, by Paul and the apostles, and about generosity being encouraged. So in 2 Corinthians 8, 1-15, Paul addresses the subject of giving and the Macedonian churches who, even amidst very severe trials, they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. He talks about the church at Corinth being the first to give, but also having the desire to do so. So we see a number of things just in this passage. Here's one thing. Not having much is not a reason not to give. Look at the Macedonians in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians. It says, out of their poverty, they still practiced the grace of giving. Think of the poor widow at the temple in Luke chapter 21, verses 1 to 4, where the Lord observes her giving her two mites, all that she possessed. Secondly, giving is an opportunity to be sought and chased after, verses 3 and 4. The Macedonian Christians pleaded for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people, even though they weren't very well off. Another thing is in this chapter, chapter 8, is give yourselves first to the Lord. That was the attitude. Your heart must be right before God first in verse 5. Verse 5 says, they gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then, by the will of God, also to us, Paul writes. They had surrendered their hearts to who? To the Lord. They were followers of Jesus. They were committed to following him. They gave out of love for the Lord and for his work. And by God's will, they gave also to his work, to the work of the apostles. Another thing we read is, giving is proof of your love for God, verses 6 to 8. Paul switches here to talk to the church in Corinth, where he says in verse 7, see that you excel in this grace of giving. And in verse 8 he says, I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. He's just written about the generosity of the churches in Macedonia and them giving through extreme poverty, welling up in rich generosity in verse 2, and asking the church in Corinth to be earnest to give. Another point from that passage says, we should think of the Lord Jesus as the example of the greatest giver. For in verse 9, Paul says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sake became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. The Lord Jesus is our supreme example of giving. The grace he showed each one of us, of his followers, by his grace, and that through his poverty, in giving his life for us, we may become rich in spending eternal life with him because of Calvary and have our sins forgiven. We see the church in verses 10 in Corinth, in verses 10 and 11, that in the previous year they were not only the first to give, but they also had the desire to give. And Paul urges them to continue to give as God enabled them to do so. The church had a desire to give, and it was only possible because individual believers gave generously. Remember that they are the church, the called out ones. Give with willing hearts, verse 12. Willingness makes the gift acceptable, Paul says here in verse 12. In verse 11, Paul says it's their eager willingness to give. It's an attitude of the heart. Our willingness to give makes the gift acceptable to God. Not out of compulsion, but out of willingness. Our giving is not that others will be relieved. Our giving is not the others will be relieved, but that when you are hard pressed, but that there will be equality. Verse 13, that there may be a time when you are the recipient rather than the giver. And if you are hard pressed, their plenty, others' plenty, will supply what you need. Verse 14, other believers can help you in hard times. So then, that's chapter 8. And then as we look into the next chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 15 especially, Paul again speaks of giving. And here again we can see principles related to giving. One we often hear about is that you reap what you sow. And verse 6, Paul writes this, to encourage generosity in our giving. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Another point he gives here in verse 7a, he says, give as you've decided in your heart to give, not grudgingly. Each of us should give what we've decided in our heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Have it thought out. Have a plan. Decide your giving to the Lord in your heart. And then another point is give with the right attitude. Because in verse 7b, Paul writes, God loves a cheerful giver. When it comes to giving, how is my attitude? How is your attitude? Do you give grudgingly? Be a cheerful giver. It is an attitude. It's to be from the heart. It's more blessed to give than to receive, the Lord told us. We will be blessed by the Lord in our giving when our giving is done with the right attitude. Verses 8 to 11, God will supply the giver's needs. Notice the word wants isn't mentioned here. It's our needs that are supplied. Having all that you need. What will be increased? Our estate? No. The harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And the result will be thanksgiving to God. God gets the praise. Another thing from verse 12, giving is a form of worship to God. Why do we do it in the middle of our service? Because we see it as part of the worship. Part of the worship is in our giving to the Lord. Have you thought about giving in this way? Giving thanks to the Lord. Giving is worship. We're not giving because we have to. We are giving as an act of love to the Lord. It's because we want to. It's not the way of the world, but it is the way of the follower of Jesus, because we worship the Lord who has given us all that we have. In verse 13, a believer's giving is proof of one's love for God, and it brings glory to God. We confess Christ. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, Romans 10:9 tells us. Our confession of the gospel is accompanied by our loving obedience that accompanies it. And others will praise God for that generosity and sharing with them and with everyone else. To God be the glory. Another point in verse 14, giving is a form of fellowship with other believers that are not present. We can have fellowship with others through our giving. They will thank God for you because of your giving, for passing on the grace God has given you. Their prayers for you in their hearts will go out to you because of your generosity. You may never meet them on this side of heaven, but you will have shared with them in your generous giving. And then Paul ends in verse 15 with that lovely, lovely phrase, thanking God for his indescribable gift, the gift God gave us in his one and only Son, who became poor so that followers of Jesus may become spiritually rich. Our salvation cost the Father the life of his Son. That was the greatest gift God could provide. This is essential for the follower of Jesus we've looked at today is giving. Christians are givers. We are called to be godly in our giving. The last of the essentials then we will look at next Sunday week will be the essential of serving. So we look forward to that. Well, let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, help us in this subject of giving and how the Lord Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Help us in our attitudes to giving. Help us to see that giving is an essential for the follower of Jesus. Giving is a way in which God blesses others. Giving is an act of obedience to you, and that all that we have from you, and that we are stewards of what we have. Help us to be generous with what you've given to us, because you've put it in our hearts, and you've said it in your word. And we pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So we're going to stand and sing our close.